ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 1 जीनियोलॉजिकल टेबल ऑफ द डॉटर्स ऑफ मनु टेक्स्ट 13 पत्नी मरीचे स्तुकला सुषुवे कर्दमात्मजा कश्यपं पूर्णिमानां च ययो रापूरितं
जगत्
पत्नी
वाइफ
Mariche, of the sage named Marichi. By the way, it's not Mariche, it's Mariche, okay? Because the word Mariche refers to someone else. Who does it refer to? Ravana's associate, who Ram killed. Maricha. Maricha was the one who took the form of the golden deer to entice Sita. And that's why Ram went in search of the deer. And that's how Ravana could abduct Sita Devi. So this is Marichi. And that is Maricha. So even a little extension of a vowel can make a difference. Yes? In Vrindavan, just near our Krishna Balaram temple, there is an ashram called Dhanuka Ashram. And in the Krishna book, we see that there is a demon called Dhenuka whom Krishna killed. So because devotees have the word Dhenuka in mind, they call him Dhenuka Ashram. And the poor owner of that ashram is always frustrated. I am not Dhenuka. I am not a demon. I am Dhanuka. Mariche, of the sage named Marichi,
also
Kala,
named Kala,
Sushuve,
gave birth,
Kardama Atmaja, daughter of Kardama Muni, Kashyapam, of the name Kashyapa, Purnimanam
cha,
and of the name Purnima,
Yayoho,
by whom
Apuritam,
spread all over, Jagat,
of the world.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni's daughter Kala, who was married to Marichi, gave birth to two children whose names were Kashyapa and Purnima. Their descendants are spread all over the world. Now this verse does not have a purport, so we'll read the next one. But I'll read it by myself. Purnimas Virajam Vishvagam cha Parantapa Devakulyam Hare Pada Shauchad Yabhut Sridivaha. Translations. My dear Vidura, of the two sons, Kashyapa and Purnima, Purnima begot three children, namely Viraja, Vishvaga, and Devakulya. Of these three, Devakulya was the water which washed the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, and which later on transformed into the Ganges of the heavenly planets. Purport. Of the two sons, Kashyapa and Purnima, herein Purnima's descendants are described. An elaborate description of these descendants will be given in the sixth canto. It is also understood herein that Devakulya is the presiding deity of the river Ganges, which comes down from the heavenly planets to this planet and is accepted to be sanctified because it touched the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Yilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manau Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudhadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagada Raghunathanvitam Vansajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagada Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Rajanam Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Upashchadadeshakarini Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyayacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Prishnadebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabha Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this chapter is entitled The Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. To refresh our memory, Manu had two sons, Svayambhuva Manu, and he had three daughters. The three daughters were Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti. Now, we have heard in some of the previous verses that Akuti was married to Prajapati Ruchi, and she had two children, twins, a girl, Dakshina, and a boy, Yajna. They were none other than Lakshmi and Narayan. Then eventually they had 12 sons called the Tushitas. Prasuti eventually was married to Daksha. Daksha was again one of the Prajapatis. And meanwhile, as far as Kardama, as far as Devahuti is concerned, she was married to Kardama Muni, and we have seen in the third canto of the nine daughters that were born of her and the one son Kapila. But the third canto especially spoke about the son Kapila and his teachings. And now here mention is being made of some of the daughters. One of the daughters who was born to Kardama Muni and Devahuti was Kala. Kala was married, as we read in today's verse, to the sage Marichi, who was also a son of Brahma. And they gave birth to two children, Kashyapa and Purnima. Purnima in turn gave birth to 3 children, and of these the last named Devakulya was the water which washed the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead and which later on transformed into the Ganges of the heavenly planets. In other words, Devakulya is Ganga, the famous celebrated holy river Ganga. And as is mentioned here and also in the purport, Devakulya is the presiding deity of the river Ganga and is accepted as sanctified because it touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now, there's nobody amongst us who hasn't heard of Ganga. Ganga is probably the most famous amongst rivers that are considered holy. There are many famous rivers in the world. There is the Nile, there is the Amazon, which are also very big rivers. And there are other rivers which may be famous for other reasons. But the Ganga is the most famous, really speaking, and primarily because of its religious and spiritual significance. Also the natural beauty, as the Ganga flows down from the Himalayan peaks and majestically flows into the plains, and she's very broad, very wide. It is such a glorious sight. How many of you have been to the higher peaks of the Himalayas and seen the Ganga flowing down? Any of you have been to Badrinath, or you've been to any of the Prayags, Pancha Prayags? Okay. So I would recommend to any of you who are adventurous enough, when you go on a yatra, of course we go to Vrindavan, we go to Mayapur and Puri, which are our main places of pilgrimage. But if you ever get a chance, do go to these places. But there is a risk, especially the family members should not. And the risk is that you will like it so much, you will not want to come back. But if that's what you want, then we have to see. So it is such a beautiful place. The mountains, we can understand why the sages chose those areas to do their austerities. Extraordinarily beautiful and pure. Of course, recently the whole place has seen a lot of upheaval because of flooding and earthquakes and natural disasters. But in any case, the whole area is extremely pure. Millions and millions of sages over millions of years have performed austerities there. The Supreme Lord has incarnated there on many occasions and performed pastimes there. And the Ganga flows there. Ganga. Does anyone know what Ganga, the word means? Ganga means? It comes from Gam and Ga. One who flows swiftly. Ganga, one who flows down very swiftly. So Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, in the 5th canto, he explains that Ganga is called Patita Pavani. She is the purifier of even the most sinful people. And she purifies not only internally, but also, not only externally, but also internally. And Srila Prabhupada says that one who regularly bathes in the Ganga will become externally and internally purified. Externally, because that person will become very immune to all sorts of diseases. And internally, because that person will develop an inclination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotional instinct will arise. Serving the Ganga is, of course, one of the limbs of sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. One of the 64 limbs is to reside in a sacred place or in a holy place like Dwarka, Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, etc. And also included is living on the banks of the Ganga and such holy rivers. So residing in a holy place like the bank of the Ganga is a recommended spiritual practice for those who, for whom it is possible. Also, there is something called Tadiya Seva. Tadiya Seva means service of not just the Supreme Lord, but all persons and things connected and places connected to the Supreme Lord. Like, for example, worship of Tulsi, worship of the Vaishnavas, worship of the cow, worship of the Yamuna, worship of Ganga. So these are all very intimately connected to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So worshipping Ganga is definitely very purifying and very, very auspicious. There is so much to say about Ganga. It can take hours and hours. And especially that kind of katha is recommended when we go to the Himalayas and go to different places there, and we can hear the pastimes in those places. But nevertheless, time does not permit us to go into too much detail about the glories of the Ganga. Suffice it to say that she is Charanamrita. We every day take Charanamrita in the temple. That's also one of the regulative principles. The moment you come in, before you leave, after you have darshan, you must take a few drops of Charanamrita. Charana means the feet. Amrita means nectar. So Charanamrita represents that water or those substances that have washed the lotus feet of the Lord. Especially during the deity worship every morning, there is abhishek that is done of the Lord. So then that is distributed to the devotees as Charanamrita. So those who are faithful devotees, they always partake of Charanamrita. So Charanamrita not only relieves you of diseases and untimely death, it gives you devotion to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Many of you may have heard the term Akala Mrityu Haranam Sarva Papa Pranashanam Gangodakam Pitva Shirasa Dharayam Yaham, where it is said that one who takes the Charanamrita of the Lord and places it on the head becomes immune from bodily diseases and from untimely death. But that is not the only purpose. We do not take the water of the Ganga or Charanamrita just to become free from disease or from untimely death. The real purpose of doing it is to develop devotion for the Supreme Lord. Similarly with Ganga, millions of people take bath in Ganga to wash off their sins in the Ganga. But they have no devotional inclination. Of course, it's better to take bath in the Ganga because at least gradually one will develop a devotional instinct. But it is better to go with a devotional prayer, with a devotional mood, because Ganga is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. So when we go to Ganga, we should pray to her for devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whether devotees or non-devotees, whatever be their particular category within the Vedic culture, all the followers of Vedic culture, whether Vaishnavas or Smarthas or Shaktas or anyone, they all revere and adore and worship Mother Ganga. This is one common thing for all followers of Vedic culture. She has come to occupy a great pride of place. Prabhupada says that anyone living on the banks of the Ganga is very fortunate and must be very spiritually advanced. He says that. Of course, we may think, I know so many people who live on the banks of the Ganga, but they are not spiritually advanced. Well, it may be, but, you know, because the fact that they are born next to the Ganga means they have some special karma. And Ganga is so potent that, of course, when you take physical bath in the river, you get purified. But even if you just, in your mind, take bath in the Ganga, you get the same benefit. Even if you mention her name, Ganga, you get the benefit of bathing in her rivers. So do you want to get the benefit of bathing in the Ganga sitting here in Melbourne?
Yes.
Then say, Ganga.
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 Ganga. Ganga.
So all of us have had bath in the Ganga. We have become purified. Prabhupada also mentions that there are great, even people like Shankaracharya have written poems praising Ganga. Shankaracharya's poem is very famous, Ganga Stotra. There's another very famous poem that is called Ganga Lahari that is sung in Haridwar and some Rishikesh and some other places during the Ganga Arati. The Ganga Arati has become quite famous nowadays and many people go there. But since Prabhupada mentions that, including Shankaracharya, many people praise Ganga and have composed prayers, I'll just tell you a little bit about the person who composed the Ganga Lahari before we go on to further topics about Ganga. His name was Jagannath Pandit Raj. He was a Brahmin from South India, from the land of Andhra. And somehow he moved to the north at the time of the reign of the Mughal kings. And there was a king called Shah Jahan who was there, who was ruling. And because of his scholarship, his erudition, he became very popular. He was one of the advisors to the king. And the prince, that is one of the sons of Shah Jahan, whose name was Dara Shikoh, who was very broad-minded, who wanted to understand the Vedic philosophy and culture, he would practically revere Jagannath Pandit Raj as his guru. He would learn from him. Eventually, of course, Dara Shikoh was killed by his brother Aurangzeb, because Aurangzeb wanted to be the king. Not only did Aurangzeb kill his brother, but he also imprisoned his own father, Shah Jahan. So many of you know that story. Now, Dara Shikoh had a sister. And the sister was also deeply influenced by Jagannath Pandit Raj. And she would consider him like a teacher, and she would take instructions from him. Somehow or the other, it happened that some rumor was spread that he was romantically involved with her. So then the king, he told him, you must marry my daughter, but in order to do that, you have to convert to Islam. So then he didn't agree to that. So he went to the bank of the Ganga and he sat on the ghat. Ghat means a series of steps that lead down to the river. He sat on the top. And he started reciting spontaneously. He composed them on the spot. He started reciting the verses of this prayer, which today is known as Ganga Lahari. And with each verse that he recited, the Ganga would come up, rise in level by one step, and the next step. And he would keep on reciting till finally the Ganga came all the way to the top. And he was praying to Ganga to take him away and to accept him as an orphan who had come for her shelter, Mother Ganga. And then it is said that the Ganga arose and took away her child into her waters. So that is a poignant story of the origin of the Ganga Lahari, which is now so famous and sung during many of the Ganga Aratis in along the banks of the Ganga. So anyway, there are many, many such beautiful stories about Ganga and those who are the worshippers and lovers of Ganga. But from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand how Ganga came into this world. Now, we all know that this universe is shaped like an egg, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, it is called a Brahmanda. Anda means an egg, shaped like an egg. And this egg has many layers, many coverings. And it floats in the ocean of some transcendental water, which is called a Karana Sagar or a causal ocean. Karana means the cause. So the causal ocean, because it is a cause of the material creation, in a sense. Now, along with our universe, there are millions of universes who are similarly floating in the water. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that just as an Udumbara tree, Udumbara means that it's a kind of a fig tree from the fig family, it produces millions of fruits. Similarly, there are millions and millions of universes, all egg-shaped, of different sizes, that float on the water of the causal ocean. It's also called the Viraja River. Raja refers to the mode of passion, or in general to the three modes of material nature. Viraja means that which is beyond the three modes of nature, and the long A at the end indicates the feminine gender, so Viraja. So Viraja is the name of that causal ocean. And it is the intermediate space between the spiritual world and the material world. And this is the water in which the entire material creation, all the universes, float. So, as the Lord, now what happened here is there was a king whose name was Bali Maharaj, and all of you have heard this. And the Vamana Dwadashi day is coming up in a few days from now. So I'm sure you'll be hearing in detail the story of the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. So, Bali Maharaj, who was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, became very, very powerful. And he conquered practically the three worlds. He even dispossessed the demigods like Indra and others of their abodes. And they were left without any place to stay. They were refugees hiding here and there. And the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she performed a penance and a sacrifice to petition the Supreme Lord to re-establish the dignity, the prestige and the property of her sons, the demigods. So the Lord promised to do the needful, and he appeared as her son, and he was known as Vamana. He was also known as Trivikrama. And he appeared before Bali Maharaj as he was about to do a sacrifice. And Bali Maharaj saw a young Brahmana Brahmachari coming in front of him. And the Brahmana said, "What can I do for you?" The boy asked for charity. He says, "Yes, ask me for anything you like." And the boy said, "Give me 3 steps of land, according to my measure." Now, Bali Maharaj laughed at him. He said, "I am the king of the whole universe. You can ask me for a planet. You can ask me for anything you like. And you're just asking me for 3 steps of land. And you're such a small boy. What will be the measurement of your 3 steps? So I can understand that even though you're a Brahmana and you're performing austerities, but your intelligence is not developed. Anyway, since you have come, you can ask me whatever you like." So he said, "Nevertheless, that's all I want." And then we all know, he expanded his form With the first step, he covered the whole earth. With the second step, he extended his left foot forward, his right was still there. And he encompassed, he covered the whole universe. And with the third step, there was no place to keep it. He asked Bali Maharaj, he said, "You can't lie. You told me you'll give me three steps in charity. I've taken only two steps." So Bali Maharaj understood that this was Vishnu. So he offered his head and said, "Please place your third step on my head." And in this way, Bali Maharaj perfected his life. Now, the second step that the Lord placed was to cover the universe. At that time, the big toe of his left lotus foot pierced the coverings of the universe just a little bit. And that little hole that was made, a very, very tiny hole, made a few drops of the causal ocean, the Karana Sagar or the Viraja River, come into the universe. And because the Lord's toe was there, that water from the Viraja that came into the material world washed the feet of the Lord. And because of that, it became Charanamrita. So in the fifth canto, Shukadeva Goswami explains that the lotus feet of the Lord is covered with reddish powder called kumkum. So when this water from the Viraja washed the lotus feet of the Lord, then it also acquired a very pleasing pink color. And as it entered in, because it had washed the lotus feet of the Lord, as it is Viraja, it is free from any material influence. But now all the more, because of having touched the lotus feet of the Lord, it became completely sanctified, completely pure and transcendental. And as you know, the lotus feet of the Lord is adorned not just with this red powder, but also has the tulasi leaves and the tulasi manjaris that are offered by various devotees. So the water of this water carried with it not only the pinkish color, but also the fragrance of the tulasi that had been offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is the water that eventually became the Ganga and then flows throughout the universe. But originally, it did not flow throughout the universe. She flowed only in that very, very high realm. So Shukadeva Goswami explains in the fifth canto that this water flowed about very, very gently in the upper reaches of the universe. And after thousands of millennia, it descended. The water descended on Dhruva Loka. Dhruva Loka is the pole star. You've all heard of the pole star, yes? If you look up in the north, exactly due north, and look up at the latitude of the place where you are. What is the latitude of? Oh, you can't see the southern hemisphere. I'm sorry. You can't see the pole star. So, the pole star, if you, let's say, 20 degrees north in your latitude, and if you look due north, at around approximately 20 degrees, you will see the pole star. The pole star is always fixed in one place. The other stars seem to be rotating around an axis that passes through the pole star. So all the other stars will rise and they will set from our point of view, but the pole star will remain where it is. So this is also called the Dhruvataram. The pole star is the place given to Dhruva Maharaj as a gift by the Supreme Lord, because Dhruva had wanted a kingdom far greater than his ancestors, even Brahma. And the Lord could not think of any higher place to give, because what kingdom can be greater than that of Brahma except the Lord's own abode? So he gifted him his abode. So then he became, that place became the spiritual world, that is Dhruva Loka. So the water came there, descended there on Dhruva Loka. And by the way, because the water descended into the universe by touching the lotus feet of the Lord, she is also known as Vishnu Padi or Bhagavat Padi. And because Vishnu Padi now had touched Dhruva Loka, Dhruva Loka is also called Vishnu Pada. Also because Dhruva Loka is at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj understood fully well when he saw this water descending. He knew the source of this water, that it had washed the lotus feet of the Lord. So he accepted this water with great devotion upon his head and considered himself very fortunate. And he continued to discharge his devotional service and remember the Supreme Lord and to consider his great fortune of bearing Ganga on his head. And he was exhibiting all kinds of ecstatic symptoms of devotion. This is described by Shukadeva Goswami. And then after this water had descended from Dhruva Loka, the water flowed around to Saptarshi Loka, which is the planets of the seven sages. In every Manu, there are certain demigods, Indra, Chandra, Varuna. They are posts that change with every change of Manu. Just like when the Prime Minister changes, the ministers change. And the Prime Minister changes at every election time. So when the Manu's life is over, that's called a Manmantara, then Indra changes, another person becomes Indra, another person becomes Surya, and so on and so forth. So, in every Manmantara, there are also seven personalities, the seven sages. So, they are also appointed. They have many functions to perform, like Kashyapa, Atri, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, and so on. So, their planets, they have seven planets. And these planets are circling the pole star. They are relatively close by. So, the water from this, the Viraja that had now touched Vishnu Padi, she began to flow from Dhruva Loka to the planets of the seven sages. From there, Shukadeva Goswami describes in the fifth canto, the waters were carried by billions of celestial airplanes. And slowly the water went into the planets of the demigods. That's how the water was distributed. And because the waters were flowing slowly, she was gently flowing all through the upper realms of the universe, so she became known in the higher planets as Mandakini. Mandakini means one who flows gently, as opposed to Ganga, one who flows very swiftly. So when she descends on the earth, and we'll come to that point a little later, but there in the higher reaches of the universe, she flows very gently, meanders around. And as she wanders throughout the universe and then touches the planets of the demigods, then she forms what is called the Akash Ganga, the Milky Way. So that is, if she traces a line there, you can see that Akash Ganga. And eventually she comes to the heavenly planets. And then from there, she moves to the top of Mount Meru. Now, even if you don't understand these cosmological terms and places, which are very difficult for us to understand with our brain, and try to see where they are by looking at the sky, don't worry about it. Let us just accept the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so in any case, they move to the place of Brahma. And from the top of Mount Meru, the place of Brahma, then this Mandakini branched out into four branches. They all went in different directions. And one known as Alakananda, came down and flowing through various peaks of the Himalayas and came down into Bharatavarsha. So, of course, it came into Lord Shiva's head. That's another story we come to now. So how did she come down here to Bharatvarsha? So at least till the heavenly planets, we have seen the description in the fifth canto. So she is called Mandakini there in the higher planets. So here she is known as Bhagirathi, because there is a king called Bhagirath who was instrumental in bringing Mandakini down to the earth. So even as Ganga was flowing as Mandakini in the higher regions of the universe, here on earth time was flowing by, Svayambhuva Manu's reign was over, and the rains moved on, Manu's moved on, and finally there was Vaivasvata Manu, and then there was Ikshvaku, his son, and then as time went on, Ambarish Maharaj came there, and one of the descendants further was a king called Sagar. Now King Sagar, at the instance or the direction of a sage, was performing a sacrifice called the Ashvamedha Yajna, which involved getting a horse and letting the horse go loose and travel wherever it willed. And then the king's representatives would travel behind the horse, and all the areas through which the horse traveled, the kings of those lands would offer their taxes and tributes to the main emperor. So now it so happened that Indra was feeling very insecure and threatened about his position. So you can imagine, this is not only happening on the earth planet. It happens all over the universe. People become materially attached to their positions and they want to protect it. And if they see somebody else making progress, then they get threatened and they try to obstruct that other person's progress. So Indra stole the sacrificial horse and deliberately placed that horse in the ashram of Kapila Muni, who was living in his ashram there, far away. So the sons of Sagar, they came searching for the horse. Eventually they found the horse in the ashram and wrongly assumed that Kapila Muni had stolen the horse. And they wanted to attack the Muni in anger. But just by the Muni's thinking, they all burnt to ashes. Now, King Sagara was very appalled by this, was very disturbed, because his sons had to be delivered now. These were 60,000 sons, if I'm not mistaken. And he had one more, Asamanjas. But this Asamanjas was also good for nothing. So what to do? But anyway, he had a good grandson. Somehow or the other, Asamanjas had a good son, whose name was Anshuman. So Anshuman went looking for his uncles, and eventually came to Kapila's ashram. He's the same Kapila Dev, by the way, who's been discussed in the third canto. So he satisfied Kapila Dev. Kapila Dev said, "All right, you can take the horse." And when Anshuman asked for the deliverance of his uncles, whose bodies lay in ashes below, Kapila said, "The only way that can be done is if the waters of the heavenly Ganga come here and touch, and then they can be delivered." Which is why, basically, it is a custom amongst Hindus that after they are cremated, their ashes are sprinkled in the Ganga. And even the first Prime Minister of India, Nehru, was quite an agnostic. He didn't believe much in religion and so on. He was very much westernized and materialistic by nature. But even he, in his last wishes, said that after I die, my ashes should be immersed in the Ganga. So we can see how, because people, how deep-rooted this faith is and this belief is. So it comes from that time. So then now that was easier said than done. How to get the heavenly Ganga to come to the earth planet? So Anshuman situated himself in penance for a long time. He spent his whole life doing that, but was unsuccessful. Then his son was born, whose name was Dilip. Dilip also in the footsteps of his father, performed austerities all his life to bring Ganga down. Unsuccessful. Then his son was called Bhagirath. Bhagirath also followed in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, and he was successful. He managed to get audience of Mother Ganga. And she said, "All right, I am satisfied with your penance. I agree to descend to the earth. But I have two problems. One is that because I'll be falling from the higher planets, the higher realms of the universe, the force of my fall will be so strong that I'll sweep away everything in my wake and I'll have to go to the lower planets. And my second fear is that when I descend on the earth and flow, all the people will bathe in me to wash themselves of their sins. And this burden of sins that is deposited in me by these people will become unbearable for me." So then Anshuman said, he is a devotee, he has the solutions to all the problems. He said, "No problem, Mataji. We will take care of your concerns. We will, number one, I will petition Lord Shiva to bear the brunt of your fall, of your waters. And so then you will not sweep away everything. And as far as you being contaminated by the sins of people, let me assure you that when the great saintly people, the devotees of the Supreme Lord, bathe in your waters, they will cleanse your waters of all the sins deposited by the sinful people." So Ganga was satisfied with that. But now Bhagirath had to perform penance to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, one who is pleased very quickly. So he appeared and he agreed to the request of Bhagirath. And then Ganga started flowing down. And Lord Shiva has matted locks of hair, as you know, you've seen his picture. And Lord Shiva bore Ganga within the matted locks of his hair. Now, the Bhagavatam describes it, the Mahabharata describes it, Ramayana describes it, so the Puranas describe it. So there's this pastime is very popular, very famous and described with little variations in the different depictions or narrations. In the Ramayana, for example, we see that Ganga had a bit of a mischievous glint in her eye because she was thinking she'll sweep away Lord Shiva. Because of flowing waters, she was a little mischievous. She thought, "I'll just play some mischief with Lord Shiva." Lord Shiva being Lord Shiva, understood. Okay, she's feeling mischievous. So then when she fell into his matted locks, he just trapped her there. And she was going round and round and round and round with the matted locks, wanting to come out, but he just held her there. It's going on and on. And then finally she realized that she had made a blunder. So then Lord Shiva said, "All right, it's okay. Now I'll let you go." And then he let out a stream from his head. Because Lord Shiva bore Ganga, he is called Gangadhara. It's another name of Lord Shiva. And you can see the pictures of Lord Shiva in which with the matted locks there is a stream flowing out from his matted locks. That's Ganga flowing. So that is how Lord Shiva held the flow of Ganga and released us gradually so that she could flow from Mount Kailas and then down to the Himalayas. Actually, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapiladeva mentions that the word Shiva means auspicious, right? That's the meaning of the word Shiva. So Lord Shiva means one who is all auspicious. Now, Kapila says that Lord Shiva got his Shivatva or his auspiciousness because Ganga descended onto his head, because she was Charanamrita. So Lord Shiva got the Charanamrita on his head. In effect, he got the lotus feet of the Lord on his head. And thus, he became all auspicious. Lord Shiva, in any case, is always auspicious. But now his Shivatva really blossomed. His auspicious quality blossomed. So now, she descended and came into the Himalayas and started flowing. Now we'll come to a small lesson in geography. We've seen what the Shastras say up to this point. Now, if you go up to the Himalayas, there are two rivers. One is, by the way, Bhagirathi, when she flowed down, Bhagirath was there to welcome her. I'll come to the geography in a few moments. So when she flowed down, then Bhagirath rode on his chariot at great speed to take her from there all the way to the place where the ashes of his grandfather, of his ancestors' bodies lay. And Ganga was flowing very swiftly. So we can imagine that King Bhagirath had to ride very fast. And because she came in response to King Bhagirath's request, on the earth she is known as Bhagirathi, the long A, the first A. The king is Bhagirath, short A, and the river is Bhagirathi with the long A. So anyway, she was following him and she was going wherever he rode. Eventually they came to Navadvip, in a place called Simantadvip, and then she stopped there. And Bhagirath was worried. He said, "Oh mother, if you stop like this here, then what happens? My ancestors will not be delivered." She says, "No, this is the place of my worshipable Lord, who lives in Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let me stay here for a few moments and worship him, and then I will come with you." So then he was pacified. So then they moved on. But then they came to that segment of Navadvip which was called Jahnudvip. One dvip means an island. So Navadvip means nine islands. So in Jahnudvip, there was a sage called Jahnu. He was sitting in his ashram and doing his austerity. And he had placed his Achman cup. You know Achman cup, the little cup of water with a little spoon that we use to purify ourselves. As the Ganga was flowing, she washed away his Achman cup, and he was looking, what happened? So he became enraged and he swallowed the whole Ganga river. And then she was within his body, and Bhagirath was flabbergasted. He said, "Oh, what has happened? I have performed austerities, my ancestors have performed austerities. She's come down and now he's gone into the sage Jahnu's mouth." He pleaded with Jahnu for mercy. Then Jahnu became compassionate and he released the water through his ears. And therefore, Ganga is also called the daughter of Jahnu. So she now is different from the word Janava, who is the consort of Nityananda Prabhu. Many times devotees call Janava as Janavi. So anyway, then Bhagirath led the waters of the Ganga, Bhagirathi, onto the place where the ashes of the bodies of his forefathers lay, and then they were delivered and sent to the higher planets. So this is how the Ganga came down to the earth, and the place where the Ganga meets the ocean is called Ganga Sagar. And a huge fair, a festival takes place in the month of Magh in winter, peak of winter in that area. Thousands of people come, something like the Kumbh Mela, the famous festival. So, coming back now to the geography. So, there's history, geography, everything in Krishna consciousness. All your subjects you can learn here. The only thing you don't learn is computers. So, there are two rivers. One is called Bhagirathi, the other is called Alaknanda. Now, Bhagirathi comes from the Gangotri Glacier at a place called Gaumukh. Gaumukh means the mouth of a cow, literally. It's a very beautiful place. For those of you who haven't been there, it's extraordinarily beautiful, this whole location. So that is where the Bhagirathi River originates. And then it meets the Alaknanda River at a place which is called Devaprayag. So the Alaknanda comes from one direction, Bhagirathi from another direction. They meet at Devaprayag. And after Devaprayag, the river is known as Ganga. So before that, she is Bhagirathi and Alaknanda. Now Alaknanda, before she reaches Devaprayag, is joined by various other rivers like Dhauli Ganga, the Mandakini, Nandakini, the Pindar. And these four places, the confluence, they're also called Prayag. So there's Vishnu Prayag, etc., Rudra Prayag and so on, all the way up to Deva Prayag. So it's called the five Prayags, the five places where these rivers meet. And there are six rivers, six main rivers. There are, of course, many, many smaller streams that join in. But these are the six main head streams. Head stream is a river, a water that forms the source of a particular river. So these are the six head streams, of which the two chief are Bhagirathi and Alaknanda, and the others are Mandakini, Nandakini, Dhauli Ganga and Pindar. So then these six, along with many other smaller streams, they all meet, and then the Ganga starts at Devaprayag, and she flows down. And as she flows down into the plains, she comes into the plains at Haridwar, the gateway to the abode of Lord Hari. And then she is joined by various tributaries, the largest one being Yamuna. Before that there is Ramaganga. Then there is the Kosi, there is Tamasa, there's so many other rivers along the way. And as she goes on, Gandaki, Ghagra, many rivers. And then at a certain point, the Ganga starts branching out into distributaries. Yes, there are the head start rivers, then there are the tributaries that join, and then the Ganga branches out into distributaries. The main Ganga goes on into what is today known as Bangladesh. And there she is known as Padma. She is joined by the tributaries from Brahmaputra River, which comes from Tibet. And the other branch of the Ganga, one goes as Padma, the other one becomes the Bhagirathi Hugli. And where the river Jalangi meets this Bhagirathi Hugli is Navadvip, very close to our temple, Mayapur temple. So we have the Jalangi and also we have the Ganga, which is the Bhagirathi. And when they meet and then they move on, then the river is called Hugli, which then flows through Calcutta. And then it goes into the sea. So whether it is the Ganga at Calcutta, or whether it is a Ganga in the higher reaches of the Himalayas, it's the same water. The Alaknanda, by the way, also flows nearby Badrinath, the holy place of Badrinath. So Ganga water is considered always pure, even though materially there may be all sorts of contamination. But from a spiritual point of view, it is always pure. So, Prabhupada mentions in many places, including in the Nectar of Instruction, that anyone who has spiritual knowledge will not hesitate to take bath in the river Ganga. He or she will disregard the material condition of the waters of the river and will push aside those things and take bath and come out. That said, however, it is one of the great tragedies of our time that the Ganga and rivers like her, including the Yamuna, have become so excessively polluted. It is probably one of the greatest offenses that we as humanity, and particularly those of residents of India, have done to contaminate the Ganga and Yamuna and other holy places in such a way. Efforts are going on to clean the Ganga, but it's a Herculean task. In any case, we should be aware that when we go to these places, we should not pollute them. And on the contrary, when we go for yatra to any holy place, we do spend some time hearing katha, doing kirtan, seeing the various pastime places in whichever holy place we go to. But we should also spend some time to clean up that place, to offer some service and to serve the dham, to serve that tirtha. So this should become a practice for us whenever we go to any holy place. So in any case, this is something about Ganga. There is much more. And those of you who are able to go to these places, go in a group, so you will relish it more. And let there be someone who can give you some katha about the various pastimes in those places, and you will relish. Remember to take bath. Even though the water may be cold. The first time we went to Badrinath, we remember, there was a hot stream there. And that became the favorite spot. Even more than the temple. Because everybody was freezing. But sometimes the temperature rises so high, you can't touch the water. It's boiling. But when it's tolerable, people like to be there in a little pond. But there's a catch here. If you really want the benefit, what you should do is take bath in the cold water of Alakananda, come back in the hot stream, take bath there, and go back in the Alakananda. Take bath. So well, we did that one time. It is not easy, of course. So we can understand why sages have chosen these places to live. So all glories to Mother Ganga. Ganga.
Ganga.
Hey Gange.
Hey Gange.
Please bless us with devotion.
Please bless us with devotion.
I almost forgot. There's some verses from the Chaitanya Bhagavata. We have a little few minutes. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifying Mother Ganga. I'll read the Bengali and I'll translate it for you. Prema rasa swarupa tumar divya jala Shiva se tumara tatva janina sakala. Prema rasa swarupa tumar. O Ganga, your water is liquid prema, liquid love of Godhead. So what is Ganga water? Liquid love of Godhead. Divya jala, it is transcendental water. Shiva se tumar tatva janina sakala. So Lord Shiva knows your glories in full. Sakrit tumara nama korile shravana tara vishnu bhakti hoy ki punah bhakshana. Sakrita, even once, tumara nama korile shravana. If somebody hears your name, tar vishnu bhakti hoya, he develops vishnu bhakti. So if anybody hears Ganga once, then Vishnu bhakti starts dawning in that person's heart. Ki punaha bhakshanam. What to speak of if somebody drinks the water of Ganga? How much more benefit will that person get? Tomara prasade se Shri Krishna hena nama spura eji vera mukhe ithe nahi ana. Tomara prasade Shri Krishna hena nama spura eji vera mukhe. It is by your mercy that the name of Krishna can manifest on the tongue of a living entity. Ithe nahi ana. There is no doubt about this. Kita pakshi kukura shrigala yodi hoy tathapi tomara yodi nikate basaye. If there are these creatures that reside on your banks, kita means a worm, pakshi means a bird, kukura means a dog, or shrigala means a jackal. So even if these entities live near you on your banks, tathapi tahara jato bhagyara mahima anyatrera koteshwara nahitara sama. So they are more fortunate, these creatures, insects, worms, birds, jackals, dogs, living on the banks of the Ganga, are more fortunate than some koteshwara, a millionaire, living elsewhere. This is Mahaprabhu's statement. Patita tarita se tomara avatara tomara samana tumi vainah ara. Patita tarita, to deliver the sinful souls, se tomara avatara, your descent is because you want to deliver the fallen sinful souls. Tomara samana tumi vainah ara. There is nobody else like you in terms of deliverance of the fallen souls. And this prayer to Ganga is composed by whom? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So with these words, we will all remember Mother Ganga as we go home today and pray for her mercy that she may bless us to develop pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Mother Ganga ki
jai.
Shri Shri Radha Vallabha ki
jai.
Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki
jai.
Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki
jai.
Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.